this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Your Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Late-term abortionist Warren Hearn has been on trial in Denver in federal court over the last couple weeks. We had one of our reporters there in the courtroom, so we'll get to that in a moment. But first, I'd like to share with you something that Warren Hearn, this is the Boulder, Colorado late-term abortionist, something that Warren Hearn said to the Daily Camera. The Boulder Daily Camera is the newspaper in that hardcore left-wing city, and the reporter is Alex Burness. So Burness writes about Hearn being still at war after four decades. Hearn is referencing us pro-lifers here in the Denver area. Actually, we are abolitionists. And so this is what Alex Burness writes, published in the Boulder Daily Camera. Hearn collects himself and, with cutting, dead serious eyes, says, "You see why I hate these people? I hate them." He repeats that twice more under his breath. "I hate them. I hate them." It's a civil war. "The feeling is quite mutual," writes Burness. Bob Enyart, radio host, Denver Bible Church pastor, and spokesman for Colorado Right to Life, roundly condemns the killing of abortion doctors, but says there is, quote, "no justification for their role in the long war against God." Even in cases of fetal anomaly, he says, quote, "it's never a thorny issue whether to love a child. You don't love the child by killing it, and you don't love the mother by turning her into an accomplice," Enyart says. Warren Hearn is not motivated by a desire of freedom for the woman and her family. As with the left generally, his is a worldview of killing the innocent and protecting the guilty. So that's in the Daily Camera, the Boulder Daily Camera. Now we go to Joe Scott, who right now is in Denver at the Planned Parenthood abortion mill. Joe, thank you for taking time out there to speak with us.
Oh, you're welcome, Bob. It's an honor. I'm here with Leslie Hanks, and she was also with me in the courtroom.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being there with Leslie. Leslie is the vice president of American Right to Life. So, Joe Scott, we have this late-term abortionist here in Colorado, Warren Hearn. He was being sued. Could you tell us what this case was about?
He was being sued for a botched 25-week abortion.
Wow.
He left a 3.5-centimeter piece of the baby's skull that weighed about 5 grams in the uterus after the abortion. And that was over 50% of the baby's skull was left in the uterus.
Oh, my.
And sent home. Now, she was from Nebraska. She came from Nebraska to here to have the late-term abortion.
Okay, so the baby, that's about a six-month-old baby, so the baby is still tiny. We're talking about almost an inch and a half of the baby's skull, he's still tiny, left behind in the mother's uterus after this late-term abortion. By the way, Warren Hearn charges in the vicinity of $20,000 or more to kill a late-term baby. We know that because an itemized invoice from a late-term abortion performed by Warren Hearn came across the desk of a worker at Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Blue Cross, Blue Shield, health insurance, they paid Warren Hearn to kill this one late-term baby, and it was, this is a few years back, I believe it was about $18,000. Joe Scott, do you remember when we had the opportunity to see that invoice?
Yes, I do.
Yes, and so, and that also has been corroborated by other sources. So he gets now tens of thousands of dollars to kill these babies, these late-term babies. Joe Scott, you're there on the sidewalk in front of Colorado's largest abortion mill, Planned Parenthood, and they charge well over $500 now. The price has gone up over the years to kill a baby, but also I believe they've extended the time into the pregnancy, into the child's life, at which they will kill a baby.
They have.
In fact, I have the ages right here in front of me. Planned Parenthood today kills babies up to 24 weeks of age. At any age, from the moment of conception on, you've just murdered a little boy or a little girl, and you'll stand before God because of that, unless you turn to Him and ask Him to forgive you through Jesus Christ. But we know that babies have survived being born under 22 weeks. We've known that now for almost two decades, and preemies, premature babies born at 24 weeks, over 60% of them survive. But now, Joe, back to our discussion. So this mother from Nebraska came to Boulder, Colorado to abort her unborn child who was going on 6 months of age. And so then could you continue? Warren Hearn left a portion of the baby's skull behind in her uterus.
Yeah, we were there while the expert witness for the plaintiff was testifying that the uterus was only dilated to 2 centimeters.
So that, in other words, that is not a lot. And so just as a technical matter, which is despicable to discuss, technical matter in the killing of children, it'd be like talking about the techniques of gassing Jews in Auschwitz. But
right. So
as a technical matter, the woman, she was dilated to 2 centimeters, which means it's especially hard to work and to make sure you're removing all the parts of the baby.
Correct.
Okay.
He also said that after she left Hearn's office and began to experience complications, another doctor did an x-ray and found what they call eco-dense areas in the uterus. Mm. And that eco-dense area, or echo-dense area, from the ultrasound was actually where the baby's skull was embedded.
So the baby's skull embedded in the wall, in the uterine wall. And now this mother, obviously she was experiencing complications. She went to a doctor there in Nebraska. He found this part of the baby's skull. So this does seem like an open and shut case of malpractice. I mean, it's despicable that we'd even have to talk about malpractice when abortion is not health care and killing a patient, killing a child is criminal. It's murder. So it's absurd to talk about malpractice, but that's the insanity of the pro-abortion world we live in. So in addition to killing the baby, this is an obvious case of malpractice against the mother and leaving inside of her part of her baby's skull.
Correct. When Warren Hearn's woman, that is like his right arm there, testified, they wouldn't give her complete name. They just used her initial CC. She testified that she put the baby and the placenta, or she tried to put the baby and the placenta back together after the procedure. And this is what really struck me as odd. It took her 30 minutes to figure out that she couldn't put the baby back because they pulled the baby out, or Warren Hearn pulled the baby out, in 100 to 1,000 pieces.
Wow. That's, you know, he wrote the abortion practice textbook, the classic textbook on how to kill a late-term unborn child. And certainly that would not be his method, pulling the baby out in hundreds of pieces.
Right, because normally they put the baby back together and they make sure that all the pieces are there.
Yeah, Planned Parenthood does the same thing. Plus, we know because of the viral videos, the undercover videos within abortion clinics around the country especially Planned Parenthoods, that they then sell these baby body parts. They harvest them. They get the most money for a baby that comes out alive and intact. And so obviously it's not common for a late-term abortion to have the baby come out in hundreds of parts.
Correct. And she even testified to this, saying that on the first day that a woman goes to Hearn's clinic, they'll get a consultation, not about whether or not they're sure about the abortion, but just what the procedure will be.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first day.
Right.
The second day, they go in and they give the child a shot of digoxin, a digoxin that will kill the child.
Yeah, that is, that's a poison that they inject into the baby's heart.
Right.
And in the Supreme Court decision on partial birth abortion, which much of the pro-life movement celebrated until Joe Scott, you and your husband Ken, Leslie Hanks, those at Colorado Right to Life and American Right to Life, we worked so hard to publish loud and clear full-page ads in newspapers all over the country that this ruling, the Gonzales v. Carhart ruling, was the most brutally violent and wicked ruling in the history of the U.S. Supreme Court. Even Dr. James Dobson, after the first of our full-page letters came out, he sent out in his national newsletter, and I'll quote him, he wrote, "Ending partial birth abortion does not save a single human life," unquote, because in their ruling, they said that if you want to kill the late-term baby, one of the ways you can do it is inject this poison, digoxin, into the baby's cardiovascular sac. Another way that you can do it is to dismember the baby. They explain when you can do a partial birth abortion and have it considered legal. So this U.S. Supreme Court opinion was a virtual late-term abortion manual. Joe, it explained to the abortionist how to perform a late-term abortion on these babies. It was so
It was horrific.
Violent.
Horrific, Mom.
Vicious and wicked. In fact, let's pause for a second and hear Dr. Alan Keyes and his description of this ruling.
Why on earth am I called upon to rejoice in a decision that in every single line, in every single word, in every bit of logic in the whole decision, painfully shows its regard for a concept that violates the law of God, the law of man, constitutional law, and every sane concept of decency that anyone in this country can come up with?
Joe Scott, Alan Keyes, Ambassador Alan Keyes, appointed by Ronald Reagan to the United Nations, he was describing this partial birth abortion ruling by the Supreme Court, which Dr. James Dobson and Judge Roy Moore, National Right to Life, and literally 1,000 pro-life leaders had celebrated in the previous weeks. They were celebrating it, and it was dripping with blood, this violently wicked ruling saying, here's how you kill these late-term babies and get away with it.
And that's exactly what Warren Hearn did.
Wow.
He did not violate that finding at all. He did exactly what was prescribed.
Right.
It's so disgusting.
Yeah. Okay, so abortionist Warren Hearn, his assistant, is saying that they injected digoxin into the baby's heart. That kills the baby. And could you continue from there?
That is on the second day. The third day, they just have her in a hotel close by and check on her. The fourth day, she comes in and Cece, the woman who usually assists her in these horrific procedures, said by the fourth day, the baby is becoming squishy, or the products of conception. She never called the baby a baby. She said the products of conception.
The POC, right? They dehumanize.
Squishy.
They dehumanize the children.
Of course.
POC, products of conception. In other words, the mother's body is trying to break down the baby's body.
Right. The baby's decomposing and getting squishy, which just her talking about it was almost impossible to listen to. And then it's easier for Dr. Hearn to pull the parts out.
Abortionist.
But when she was asked how many parts there were, she said 100 to 1,000.
So that obviously cannot be the norm.
No.
Don't
because
they normally? Yeah.
She said she can normally measure the arm or the length of the second toe to the heel. That's a great indicator of how old the baby was, that kind of.
Yeah, if
thing.
I recall, and that was in Warren Hearn's textbook.
It is in his textbook.
Yeah, that's how to determine the age of the baby accurately, do that measurement.
Right. But she could not do that. Not only that, she couldn't differentiate the placenta from the child. There was just no way to tell. So either
this, the killing of this child came across especially different than their routine, or after being reckless and leaving part of the baby's skull inside the mother, they just lied about this, one or the other.
I think recklessness, and he was negligent because she could not see any part of the baby to be able to measure or recognize. So what she did normally after the abortion, she would put the baby back together, weigh the baby. Well, she couldn't do that, and she couldn't separate it from the placenta, so they weighed the placenta and the baby together.
Okay,
so there was no way to distinguish one from the other.
So what I'm wondering, Joe, and I don't know, is if they're telling the truth about that part, well, then obviously they didn't do another ultrasound to make sure they removed the baby's entire skull. But perhaps they're lying about that part. I mean, they kill children. Child killers are also liars. Perhaps they're lying and the baby didn't come out in 1,000 pieces. Was there physical evidence, video, photographs of the baby being in 1,000 pieces?
No. She said 100 to 1,000 and it was taken.
Right. So on Judgment Day, when Warren Hearn and this Cece, we don't know her name, right? Because the court allowed her to testify virtually anonymously. On Judgment Day, when they stand before Jesus Christ and they are judged for all of their sins and all of their crimes, including the thousands of children they have killed, this may be an additional charge against them, that they even lied to this mother about how they killed their child and why part of her child was left inside of her.
And if it was a lie, it kind of backfired on her while she was on the stand, because in Hearn's book, the protocol is that after the abortion, the abortionist checks to make sure all the parts are there.
Mm.
And she was asked while on the stand, how long did it take you to figure all this out and weigh the baby? And she said, 30 minutes. And then they asked her, how long did it, first they asked her, did Hearn actually come see the parts after the abortion? And she said, no, he didn't, because he does it while he's doing the abortion, which violates his protocol, his own protocol.
Right, right.
So, and if it's coming out in that many pieces, how can he tell what he's pulling out? But
right.
She testified that he could tell.
Yeah, and if it takes a half hour, how could he do that during a 15-minute abortion?
Yeah, she testified that the abortion took 17 minutes, and that's what the lawyer for the plaintiff asked.
Mm-hmm.
How come he can do that in 17 minutes? Not only look at all the parts, but do the actual abortion in 17 minutes. Mm. And it took you, with only one responsibility, 30 minutes.
Right. So, obviously, they're lying. The abortion industry lies. And National Right to Life, they typically celebrate when it's the abortionist to report how many abortions are being performed and how many abortions on what age mothers. What happens then is in a state where there is an effort to regulate abortions for minors, well, the abortionists simply lie when they report, which is voluntary anyway in some states like in California, when they report how many teenagers are being aborted, they just lie. So if you're a murderer, of course you're also a liar.
There's nothing to stop them.
So then the trial goes to the jury. This is in federal court, downtown Denver. And the jury, is it a jury of six?
It's a jury of six with three alternates. And what I found interesting is they were able to dismiss 21 jurors. Now, that's never happened for any of my trials. I get three, and that's it that I can say I don't want.
Oh, in other words, peremptory challenges?
Yeah.
That's bizarre. That you could dismiss for any reason whatsoever. All right.
I know. I've never seen that before.
Perhaps that's the difference between federal court and county court or state court. Of course, between you, me, your husband, Leslie Hanks, and a few dozen of our closest friends, we've had well over 100 jury trials just in Denver alone.
Yes.
So we are rather familiar with courtroom proceedings. But back to this case. So the jury gets the case. What happened?
Well, it took them 2.5 hours to decide that Warren Hearn was not remiss in any of his duties as the abortionist that day.
Was not guilty, no medical malpractice. How could it be, even in the secular, godless world we live in, where you get paid $20,000 to kill a late-term baby, how could it be that you leave a big chunk of the baby's skull inside the mother and you're not guilty? How could that possibly be?
Well, his defense was she didn't come back to him to have it removed. Well, she did not know what was causing her problems. By the time they figured out what was wrong with her, her uterus had been perforated and she had to have a hysterectomy. The jury decided that the mom should have known what was wrong with her and gone back to Hearn. She didn't know what was wrong with her, and she went to her regular doctor in Nebraska, not here in Denver. That's another huge expense.
If you have some quack who operates on you, let's say he puts all kinds of nuts and bolts in your spinal column, and then months later you're suffering in pain, you often don't want to go back to the guy who hurt you.
That's absolutely right.
Pretty common, especially if he's in another state, because you had to travel out of state to find a late-term child killer.
And if you've had that problem with your back, you are not expected to diagnose what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
She was expected to know what was wrong with her.
Yeah.
And she did not.
So his defense was, if she would have just come back to me, it's part of our ongoing service. We make sure that we get all the parts of the baby out eventually.
And part of his testimony, he said that he is very accustomed to removing leftover bone fragments from uterus. So he's done it, numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently this isn't his first rodeo. He's done this to other women.
Right. Joe Scott, I don't know if you recall, years ago, I interviewed Warren Hearn on this program, Bob and Yurt Live. It was in my first summer on the air back in 1991. It was a telephone interview. He requested the questions in advance, which we had given him. There was one other time he and I faced off in Boulder, Colorado. There was a talk show host back in the 90s. His name was Jan Scott. And we had an on-location informal debate. And so that was a rather significant event. But when I interviewed him, there was a case in the news that week from Minneapolis. This 87-year-old guy, Helga, and her husband, Oliver. Well, two doctors wanted her to be removed from life support. Oliver loved his wife. There was no question of finances, that there wasn't enough money for them to continue to care for her. but the doctors went to the court so the government would say they had the authority to pull the plug on Oliver's wife, Helga. And so I brought this case up. But first, I asked him a question. And Joe, the transcript of that interview was published in the Denver Catholic Register newspaper, which 200,000 families around the state subscribe to that thing. And so I asked Warren Hearn about these life and death decisions, and he said, the public debate is about who's going to make that decision, the individual or the state. And so I said, so you're saying, Warren Hearn, that women and the families should be making these decisions, not the government? And he said, yes. So then I brought up this news story that very week where these two doctors went to a judge for the authority to discontinue medical treatment for this woman. And Warren Hearn said, yes, I saw that. I said, the doctors wanted to end medical treatment. He said, right. So I asked, Warren Hearn, would you have agreed with that judge then that no, those doctors did not have a right to overrule the husband? And he said, no, I think the doctors were doing the right thing. I support the doctor's point of view. And so I pointed right out to him, Joe, that I thought you said that it's the family that should make the decision and not the government. And he started to stammer, and he realized that he had just contradicted himself. So the reality is he sides with killing the innocent, regardless of who makes the decision, the government or the family.
What is so striking about this case is that the left always says that it's women's rights there to protect. It's always about the woman. It's about the woman.
Right.
But when it comes down to it, it's not about the woman.
Yeah, a reliably...
It's about killing the innocent.
Yes, a reliably left-wing liberal jury pool in Denver, Colorado, radically pro-abortion, doesn't rule for the woman. They rule for the wealthy, powerful, white male child killer.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened in this case.
Yes.
She had a psychologist come on and say that there were absolutely things that were distressing her mentally from all of this, and that she is not exaggerating any of the things that happened to her, that she's being truthful. They didn't care.
Yeah. Yep. Joe Scott, I want to thank you so very much. Please let Leslie Hanks know that I said thank you also. You guys are heroes.
Thanks, Bob. Talk to you soon.
All right. You're very welcome. So this is Bob Benyard. The website is kgov.com/Hearn, and you'll be able to get all these details. May God bless you.
Hello, I'm Josh Craddock, and at 14 years old, I'm a little partial to Bob and Yart's manuscript, The Plot, since I helped with The Plot Boys, a series of audio Bible studies for junior high and high school students like me who want to dig deeper and better understand the Bible. The Plot is an overview of the entire Bible, because once you understand the overview of the Bible, then you have the key to understanding its details. And that's what makes the entire Bible fun to read. So please order your copy of The Plot today. Call 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go to kgov.com. That's kgov.com. And remember, your support, both prayerfully and financially, keeps Bob and Yart live on the air. Thank you.